You're listening to the Infused Leadership Podcast.
Because leadership is really hard.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Infused Leadership Podcast. So glad you joined us. I am Jared Bayless. I'm the Creative Arts Pastor here at Element Church, and I'm pleased and thrilled to be joined once again by my compadre.
Compadre. Are we doing this in Spanish now?
I learned Spanish over the summer. Jeff Manis, and he's back.
Yes.
I tried to hold down the fort with the podcast while he was gone.
Job.
You're just saying that, but thank you. I tried really good, but it's not the same without you. So we are glad that you're back.
I'm glad to be back.
So the title of this podcast is Never Let Your Pastor Take a Sabbatical, which is a little dicey, but we want to throw a little tagline on there, which is unless you want them to come back revitalized, inspired, and renewed.
Love it.
Yeah, it's good. We came up with it.
Yeah, we're pretty smart.
Jeff is back from a sabbatical, obviously. And so we want to just maybe explain a little bit what a sabbatical is for people who are listening, who maybe don't actually know what it is, or maybe you've just heard the word, but never actually put it in or never seen it done.
Sure. So if you're out there listening, you already are in tune with what a sabbatical is, why a church gives it, feel free to skip ahead in the podcast. But for those who don't, we wanted to kind of break it down a little bit, break it down. Chicka, chicka. We need a DJ or something. Maybe you should put a little scratch in there for us. What was that? It was like a lip smack. But we did want to explain what a sabbatical is. Really, a sabbatical is an extended time away, typically for a senior leader of an organization, a lot of times in a church, but this happens in colleges, universities, companies as well. But extended time away just for rest, revitalization, sometimes education and renewal, to come back with a new sense of vision and passion for whatever industry they are in. And the best sabbaticals really do have a plan put into place. And I really felt like going into our sabbatical, we had a great plan. Ours was 3 months long. Some sabbaticals are 1 month. In some circles, they go up to 9 months, which I can't even imagine. But really, it's just that extended time away offered by the organization to let the leader get refocused, re-energized after an extended period of service or ministry.
Awesome. And so I want to ask you just a few questions about it. So what was it like at the, I don't know, maybe the first couple of days, first week or something, or maybe the first month. And then, let's start with that. What was it like to start? Was it weird?
It really wasn't weird at first because like every year you take vacation. And so I'm used to having a week here or 2 weeks, whatever it is. So the first days, even a couple of weeks was like, it just felt like another vacation. When it started hitting in was when you start thinking about when you're coming back. So after a week away, you look at the calendar and there's still 12 weeks till you're back. And that would hit you like, holy crap. Like this is real. Like we're really gone for 3 months. I didn't feel like I fully disconnected until about 21 days in, about 3 weeks in, felt like, all right, now we're fully disconnected. And I felt like we actually then started our sabbatical at that point. Up until then, it was more just like a normal break.
Hmm. So then what were some, or did some doubts, or what were your struggles on that? Because sabbatical is good, but it's natural to have little things creep into your mind about, should you be doing this? I don't know. What were some of those?
Yeah. I mean, I struggle with some guilt, you know, when you don't have your weekly responsibilities, but you're still getting paid. I struggle a little bit with what I should be doing. And we definitely did some intentional things. I met with some pastors and leaders from other churches that were ahead of us in ministry to try to learn from them. Went to the Willow Creek Leadership Conference. So did some intentional things educationally. Took a trip to Israel, and that was really, obviously it was a tourist trip, but it was educational as well. I felt like I gained years worth of knowledge biblically from literally being there and learning in the setting. But guilt was one thing I struggled with. Just the fear of the unknown. Like we had zero communication with the church. So I changed my phone number, my email. Our staff did not have any contact with me. I had no contact with them. There was only one person in our church that had my information, and that was simply to make sure I was doing okay. They were there as accountability. Hey, what's going on? Are you all right? Are you in the word? That kind of thing. But he did not share anything with me from the church. It was hard for him to do. We're really close friends. And it was hard for me not to ask. So that was really weird, just literally being in the dark about what was happening. Mm-hmm. So that was a struggle as well. Hmm. Coming back, I don't know if you were going to ask this or not, but I'll just share with you.
Yes.
The biggest struggle for me was coming back into the normal workflow, I really, really struggled with what I thought people's perceptions might be of me, that I felt like I had to come back in and prove that the sabbatical was worth it, that I was worthy of the 3 months off. And I really wrestled that first week back, even the second week back, heading into my first sermon, putting undue pressure on myself to really knock it out of the park with a message so I proved that it was worth it. And I shared that with our executive pastor and my accountability partner as well, just like, hey, I'm wrestling with this whole perception thing. And there was nobody that gave me the impression they were feeling that way. It was the enemy. But that was definitely something coming back. Like, I have to prove myself because I got 3 months away from ministry.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so let's kind of dive in a little bit more and just ask you, and maybe you're a pastor who's listening and is has considered maybe going on sabbatical. I know that in the summertime we had another pastor from another church who was visiting, who was watching you or watching us go through a sabbatical as a church. So I know that they were wondering a lot of how that can happen. So you had given me some principles of what you had learned on your sabbatical. So I kind of want to ask you about some of them. And the first one is this, is you said, I would attend a Mormon church. And it's like, what the what? Like, why would you say that?
Yeah. So obviously we're not going to get into any theological discussions right now on the difference between evangelical Christians and the Church of Latter-day Saints, but let me explain. The very first day on our sabbatical, I went on a trip with a buddy of mine, a prayer trip around the state of Wyoming. It's an annual thing for us. And we drove through every county in the state of Wyoming, stopped at the county lines, prayed over that county, just asking God to do big things in our state, in the local church. And one thing I started to notice, I think it was on day two of the trip, like literally every single town we drove through in Wyoming, there was a Mormon church in every single town. And I noticed that not only was the Mormon church the best looking church in town, it was the best looking building in town without fail in every church. And I started talking to my buddy, and I was like, man, if I didn't know anything about God or the church, and something happened in my life that caused me to reach out to a church, I'd go to the Mormon church first. Because now that not every church in every town looked bad, but there were some churches that just looked like crap. And the Mormon church looked amazing. And so I thought, man, if I was looking for one, that's where I would go. And I know that people are going to quote to me 1 Samuel 16:7 that says, well, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And I would say, you're right. God does look at the heart. And I'm sure inside some of those crappy rundown churches, there are some incredible hearts for God. But the thing I'm saying is we're not trying to reach God. We're trying to reach people. That people look at the outward appearance and assume that what's on the inside is a reflection on what's on the outside. Mm-hmm. It's a good reminder for me of how our church property looks, how our building looks when somebody walks in. Like if an unchurched, ungodly person walks in, they're looking at the outside, connecting that dot to what they believe is on the inside. So it was a huge reminder for me of the importance of what we are portraying to our community with our own buildings and property. Simple paint jobs for some churches, I think, would make a world of difference.
Yeah. Even if you think about your own home.
Yes.
Like you look at neighborhoods and you go, man, this place looks really run down. This is probably a really bad neighborhood. Yep. And it turns out there's really nice people in there and there's low crime. But when it doesn't look nice, but you go into another neighborhood and you're like, wow, people care about their property, that you assume they're nice people, which is not always true. But
yep.
I would agree.
So that's, I mean, if you're listening from a church, even if you're not a pastor, like, understand the mowing of the lawn, the smell of the building, the trash, I mean, the weed care, all that stuff, it matters. I think people look at that. And if they're needing a place to go, would your building be a place they'd want to come to? I think it's a great question to ask.
That is. Yeah. Anything else?
No, that's good.
Okay. So here's another one that you gave me. So it's you either trust your staff for a sabbatical or you don't trust them at all. So why don't you unpack that a little bit?
Yeah. I felt going into our sabbatical, I just had great confidence in our team, our staff, our volunteers. I would hold our executive pastor. I kind of felt weird that I didn't have this nervousness about the sabbatical, but I just kept on telling him, like, we have an awesome team. And so I just, as we are gone, I started, you know, I'm rehearsing all these things in my mind, and I'm thinking, if I don't trust my staff or our volunteers to run the ministry while I'm away, then I really don't trust them while I'm there either. Mm-hmm. Like I either trust them for me to be gone or I don't trust them at all. And leaving for 3 months forces you to ask the trust question. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the biggest positives for a church is you're forced to find what you trust. Do I trust them or not? And then I started thinking on top of that, your congregation either trust the staff for a sabbatical or they don't trust them at all.
Mm-hmm. Would you say, sorry to interrupt you, I was going to say, would you say that if somebody's listening and a pastor and it says, man, I need a sabbatical, do they need to maybe instead of ask, you might need a sabbatical, but is a question to first ask, are you even ready for a sabbatical? Is your team ready for it?
Absolutely. Because I feel like if we would have went into our sabbatical and our team was not prepared, it would have been an absolute disaster.
Mm. Yeah.
And one of the things that I've just loved from this whole coming back from the sabbatical is hearing all the amazing reports of what God did, how great you guys did preaching, the iHeart initiatives we pulled off. I mean, we came back and I feel like proved what we already felt like would happen, that our church was going to knock it out of the park. Mm-hmm. But if we didn't feel that way going in, we probably shouldn't have done it. Mm. And so, yeah, absolutely. Before you set up a sabbatical or even ask for one as a pastor, which is extremely hard to do. I did not have to ask for one. Our church blessed us with one without that. But you better make sure that your team is prepared to handle the ministry while you're away.
I also feel as if I'm talking from a staff person who is on part of the sabbatical, but as part as like helping to pick up the slack. I also feel like our people and what you had done for us is you blessed us. If you think about it, and this, I just thought of this now. Mm-hmm. You blessed us as a staff because we had to pick up some slack, but we had to preach, we had to, you know, do other different things. But what it did was showed your confidence in us, mm-hmm. but it also showed different talents that we had, which showed that like, you allowed us to show our talents and bless us to like pick up the slack to preach that we didn't know we had to preach. And so like, have more confidence in us when you're like, well, before maybe you thought, I don't know this, but maybe I only have a couple people that I can lean on. Should there be an emergency? Right. I need somebody to preach or fill in. Now you're like, I know that we have, I don't know how many more you want to consider, but you can say, wow, we've birthed new talents in people or we just allowed them some reps to be able to, made our church stronger. And so it blessed us by realizing we have more confidence in ourselves because we're not one trick ponies. Like, we only do youth ministry. We only do worship. We only do groups or whatever.
It's good.
So I really feel like that's another blessing, but that was only because we were ready before you left.
Even on top of that, I mean, like when you preached, you're the worship pastor, so you're always singing. Mm-hmm. I mean, there has been untold comments about you and Taylor specifically of, I didn't know they could preach. Mm-hmm. They never would have known if I didn't go away. Yet we revealed to our whole congregation, like, hey, we have a team of talented people that their skill isn't just what they do. It's beyond that. So that's actually really, really good. People would ask me, I mean, this is the biggest question I got heading into the sabbatical and then during it, not for people inside the church, but outside our church, is, aren't you worried? And I would be like, about what? And they, all of them would say, well, not being there, what if something happens? And we had a plan in place for catastrophic events where I would have been contacted. But outside that, like I told him, I said, no, I'm not worried because I truly am fully confident that our team can do this. Will it be different? Absolutely. They still had to do their full-time jobs and sermon prep and do other things that came up. So yes, it was different where I'm kind of lasered in on preaching every single week. But no, I'm not worried. They've got it all figured out. So you guys did amazing. And it was a big lesson for me that, man, you either trust him for 3 months or you don't trust him for 1 week.
Why would people ask that question? Like, why would they be worried and where does that come from?
I think honestly, some of it comes from even sometimes their own low self-esteem thinking, well, if I were in that place, you know, I want it all to rely on me. I want to be the person that gets all the credit.
Yeah.
But then I also think a lot of times in the church world, there is undue pressure or responsibility placed on the senior pastor that, oh man, if he's gone, what's going to happen? Like the church relies on him. Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't. And I said this multiple times heading into the sabbatical that, and everybody agrees, I mean, this is not like some new thing in our church, but the church does not revolve around Jeff, it revolves around Jesus. Mm-hmm. And anytime we forget that, even when it comes to worship, like our worship does not revolve around Jared. Mm. It revolves around Jesus. Mm. And we've built a team to sustain that. So I think a lot of it is just that fear of, oh man, the pastor does everything. Mm-hmm. No, they shouldn't.
Yeah.
If they do, then you're not following the scripture, which is that the pastors should equip the people to do the work of the ministry. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of, I just think, is a church mentality we've come to.
Yeah. I really believe. Feel like this also helped you, whether you were meaning to, I just think anybody who does this is what's going to happen. It helped hone your skill or your discipline of fulfilling scripture of like, there's multiple parts to the body and they all have to work together, but they have to know if there's healthy, like, and sometimes you needed to step away to know that there's health, but you wouldn't have been able to step, you wouldn't have stepped away if you didn't feel like there was health there.
Yep.
But I also feel like, you know, like I just think that it can't revolve around you. You said this already, but it can't revolve around you, but we have to be in it together. And we have to know that people want to come to serve and they want to, and it's staff and then it trickles down. They want to be entrusted and they want to be led. But I think a lot of churches fail, and especially smaller churches, because the pastor or a couple pastors are doing everything.
Absolutely.
And so then they fail because they have failed to equip, because they think, I have to be all things to all people and I have to pick up the slack. And I think it's a little selfish and a little arrogant, because you don't mean to, but you like that spotlight.
Yep, absolutely.
So I think that also a sabbatical helped to go, this is not about me, and I'm going to prove it's not about me. I'm going to leave and watch how everybody flourishes. So.
Yeah, I actually had a couple, I mean, there's one pastor specifically, and I'm not going to share his name, and if anybody asks me, I'm not going to share it either, but I could kind of pick up on some of that self-esteem thing. Like, well, what if you go back and they actually loved everybody? And sure, you know, in our humanness, there's a little bit of like, oh man, I hope they like me when I'm back. But my response was, I hope they love them. Like, it would suck to go away for a sabbatical and come back and people are like, oh my word, I'm so glad you're back. It was horrible. I mean, that would suck. I wanted to come back and hear how great it was, because to me, it proves what I already knew. Like you said, we have an amazing team of not just staff. We have an amazing team of volunteers. Like, our volunteers are out of this world in what they do. And I loved it. I love coming back and hearing all the great stories. It just proved what I already knew.
I think you should be able to say that could be your answers. Like, then good. I did my job. Then thrilled. Like, I'm excited. Like, if I come back, then I've done my job. So on the flip side, it should give you more confidence.
It's good.
But I think we decide to want to take the limelight. Anyway,
yeah, it's good, man.
That's good. Okay, so here's another one.
Kind of leads into this one, by the way.
Oh, well, thank you. I planned it that way. I'm cool like that. Okay, it says, you said, we're a small part of a much greater story.
Yeah, so this one was huge, huge, huge for me. And here's how it ties into the previous thing, that like, Element Church can't be about one person. We wouldn't accomplish very much. We're all together a part of something much greater. But what I learned while we were away was, it's easy in ministry to get your blinders on, especially when things are going well, like they have been here at Element. And when you start to believe that the ministry world revolves around you, and man, God must be really laser focused in on us because things are going really well. But we, on a sabbatical, got to visit. I mean, we went to a different church every single week. We did not take a break from church. We took a break from our church. We went to church every week, and we saw literally all different shapes and sizes and styles of churches. And about 4 or 5 weeks in, I commented to my wife, I was like, God is on the move in all of these churches, and they're all completely different, different parts of the country. I was just reminded of the unique role our church plays in a grander story. Like, we are such a small part of God's kingdom. Doesn't mean we should not work any harder, but God does not care any more about Element Church than he does the tiny little church in some little town in the middle of nowhere. He cares about that church too, because that church is reaching people. And God was not any more evident or present in any specific style or size or shape. Like, he was there in all of them, moving in unique ways. It was such a good reminder for me of, hey, Jeff, you're not really that big of a deal. I've got, God was almost saying, I've got this under control. I'm not just using you. I'm using all of you. Mm-hmm. And I'm taking Element as a unique part of that. It was a super good thing for me to remember.
I think that's a refreshing thing for us to hear too, just because I feel like we're like, we just can't go to all these churches.
Yeah.
Everybody can't. So it was almost like you were out in the free world and you came back and we're like, what's it like?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What's it like?
Did you see the other side?
Papa, tell us what it's like. So it was good. It was a good reminder to know, like, for you to be able to cast the vision to us of like, you know, maybe we're trying too hard in certain areas, and somebody needed to see that.
Yeah.
And so maybe we're spinning our wheels in a way that we unnecessarily needed to do. So
yeah, I think that's good that you said that. I feel like sometimes even in our creative planning, we're trying to find that, you know, the golden goose that mm-hmm. will unlock the mystery of the church. And, oh, we've got to have this amazing idea or this incredible light scene, because that's going to change the world. And nothing, again, I'm all for lights and production. We do that here. But I went to churches that literally had nothing. And the power of God was so evident in there. And I went to churches that had everything, and the power of God was evident there. So it was a great reminder of sometimes we don't need the next greatest idea. That it's, I'm all for creative ideas, but maybe this week we just need to get up there and do nothing special. Mm-hmm. And God can still move.
So turns out the golden goose was the Holy Spirit.
Hey, there you go. It's a dove though, not the goose. The golden dove.
Well, potato, potato. Okay, cool. Anything else on that one?
No, man, it kind of leads. You set this up brilliantly, by the way, because it leads into the next one.
I can't help it.
I see on the list of questions you gave me.
Okay, so the next one is, we all need the church.
Yeah. Again, going to different churches every week, while I learned about, you know, we're a part of a much greater story, it became brutal not having a church family. Mm. And it's hard. Like for us as pastors, the church is our world. We don't go to a job and then choose to go to work or go to church on Sunday. If we don't go to church on Sunday, we don't have a job, mm-hmm. right? We're going to get fired. So for us, like church is our life. But for the first time, literally in my life, I'm a pastor's kid. So I grew up in the church, then I worked in the church. I've never had 3 months where I chose where to go to church. So now all of a sudden we're attending different churches every week, but I had no church family. And it was a month in, probably in the middle of July, like we were just dry. Mm. And not dry because we weren't being fed. We were being fed differently every single week. But it was like I was reminded of just how important the church is to our everyday lives. There is power in the local church. And it was the same Sunday. It was the last Sunday. I think it was the last Sunday of July. We were visiting a church. Again, God was there. But my wife, we were singing a song, and my wife leaned over to me and she said, I'm ready to sing this with our family. Mm. And it was that same Sunday that I was just feeling like, man, I miss our people. I miss our family. So we had no connection. All we had was each other. And so it was just, again, it was a reminder of just how important the local church is. When somebody gets connected to the local church and truly gets fed there and is encouraged there and all those things the local church does, if that's taken away, like, holy cow, man, it was so hard to not have a church family.
Okay, so if somebody is listening and they have been church hopping, and while you were church hopping because you kind of had to,
yeah.
Or you just chose to, and you wanted to see different things and you had different motives, but something you said, which I thought was really key, is you said, I just felt so dry.
Yeah.
And so maybe I'm thinking, if you're sitting there and you're like, I just can't find a church, but you haven't really committed to the local mm-hmm. church because you're just, for whatever reason, you're dragging your feet. Maybe a question is, are you dry? And then you're just not plugging in. And so you just can't figure out why, but it's just, you won't jump in.
Yeah, that's good.
So I don't know. I'm just thinking maybe somebody needs to hear that because you're experiencing it, but you chose to kind of experience that.
Because we were in church every week. I mean, there was one or two Sundays we literally weren't able to be in church. We were on an airplane or something or on a whatever. But I mean, I think we missed maybe two Sundays going to church. Mm-hmm. So we were in church every week, but we were never connected to one. Mm-hmm. That's really good insight. All that to bring it kind of back around, I guess, to a closing point on this one. But it was good for me as a pastor to understand, as a Christian, it was good for me as a Christian mm-hmm. to understand, maybe for the first time in my life, how important the church is. Mm-hmm. Like I thought I understood it as a pastor, but I got to experience it as just a Christian for the very first time. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like when I preach that, I can preach it from a different perspective. Even if people don't believe me, I've lived it. Like I needed my church mm-hmm. and I didn't have, we couldn't wait to get back. Mm-hmm. That first Sunday back, I could not wait to be back.
That's awesome. And I remember your kids even said that too.
Yes.
So that speaks a lot too, to that same analogy.
Yep.
Any more for this one?
Nope.
Because it leads really well into this one. this last one is, the vision of the church was lived out in you.
Yeah. This was super cool. And it was kind of a random thing. Because after we were already back from the sabbatical, and I was thinking about how much we missed our church, and I was driving down the road with my daughter, Michaela, and I was like, whoa, Michaela. I was like, our church vision, and I repeated it to her, I said, our church vision is that we'd be a movement of people having such an impact if we were gone, and she finished it, our community would miss us. I was like, yeah. I was like, do you realize that vision was lived out in our family this summer? Like, the church was not there, and we desperately missed it. Like, I word it this way, the vision was actually lived out in the pastor. That was mind-blowing to me.
Yeah.
It was confirming that I felt like, man, our church is so vital to my own spiritual life that when it was gone, we desperately missed it. And I'm not even exaggerating when I use the word desperate. Like, all of us in our family, like, we were so ready to be back at our church. It was refreshing to be here. It was confirming for me that our church is living out the vision because I felt it. Like, I knew what it was like to not have us, and it was missed greatly.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Not many people get to live that out. And honestly, I even think some churches don't even have core values. And
yeah.
So to be able to be even looking for a core value.
It's true.
And maybe that's something that you need to work towards. Like, if you're not ready, if you need a sabbatical, maybe you need to prep for one.
Yeah.
And maybe that's good. One of them. I don't know. I don't know who's listening that maybe needs to hear it. I don't know.
Yep.
But I think that's great. I think the whole sabbatical was great for us. If I can speak really quickly on the staff side of it, where we had to figure out what our identity was without you. Not that our identity was in you, but when you have the vision-driven leader, you kind of just wait for that trickle down of like, okay, how can we take this and unpack it? But it was like, okay, daddy's gone and we don't know what to do. And so, no, it was just more of like, okay, well, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
And I've told you this, but on the creative side, something I wish you would have said, it's just, we just didn't talk about this. We'd never done it. So if you're listening and you're going to go on a sabbatical, I said, I wish you would have told me, go ahead and just keep trying things.
Yeah.
Just be creative. Just try things. It's fine. Like, I'm okay with it. Just do it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, I hope he'll be okay with this.
Yeah.
And I didn't have anything like earth shattering, but you start to get into a rut and you start to realize, like, because we're just trying to sustain. And it's like, but that's not what he wants. That's not what we want. We want to grow and we can do this without him.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't want to, but if that's what the season is. So let's prove that we can something new and we can keep trying things. So we tried all kinds of videos.
Yeah.
We tried different, I don't know, all kinds of things.
And I came back and you guys had kind of laid out a whole new creative structure, which was awesome. We had done some staff restructuring had already happened inside the church. And I mean, there was already new things happening that I had no say in at all. And so it was cool to come back and see, man, they took initiative while I was away. Again, like you said, a thing we've learned is, you know, speaking that ahead of time, like, hey, you have my permission to try new things. I'm not going to fire you when I get back. But, but that was, I loved that. I loved that you guys took that initiative and said, okay, what are we going to try, even though he's not here to approve it or put his vision on it?
It's good. And we kind of said, you know, we can't just be trying to sustain and be out of energy by the time you get back and you have energy.
Yeah.
We needed to be prepped and ready for you to come back and not feel like we're draining each other.
That's good.
And so we tried to do, you know, like, hey, let's do urgency and thankfulness. Let's try to remember what we're thankful for and let's not try to drain ourselves. And so I think that was really key for us to figure out who are we without that key component, but it strengthened us because we wanted to be strong and stronger when you got back rather than like, well, it must be nice to be gone for 3 months. So that was not what the purpose of it was.
And I feel like it was. Like I feel that first Monday back, I feel like it felt like I had been gone for a week, not 3 months. I feel like we stepped right back in to our rhythm because the rhythm never stopped.
Mm-hmm.
The rhythm is gonna get you.
It's gonna get you.
That's what I just thought of. That was very, very good for me coming back to be like, man, the wheels didn't fall off. The train didn't stop moving. Like I came back, we stepped right back in. And yeah, there was some adjustment and I was behind on sermon prep because obviously I wasn't prepping for several weeks and we're getting past that. But I mean, the engine was still moving. We just had to get back on board. It was good.
Awesome. Anything else?
Yeah, thanks for letting me do this.
Yeah.
You're awesome.
You're my boss.
I said on Sunday, I feel like I could literally talk for weeks about the sabbatical. And I mean, we did so many stuff. We don't have to go through all that. I just wanted to at least have some avenue, some venue here where I could share some things I learned, some things we did, even some things we'd do differently. So hopefully this helps people. Maybe it didn't. Maybe you skipped this whole podcast. Either way, we'll be back next month.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. If you have, and this one's a little different, so as we try to make them all different, but if you have specific questions, even if you're a pastor listening and you have them for Jeff, I mean, you'd love to answer some. So you can also use that infuse@elementchurchwy.com email. If you have questions about how to even get that set up or what some more specific questions, we'd love to hear from you. If you have other podcast ideas, please send it to that same email. We're trying all kinds of different things. We'd love to know who is listening to these, how we can better help you, equip you, whatever it may be. Please let us know. We would love to hear from you.
And also, next month, we're going to continue on Jared's thought of urgency from the previous month's podcast. So I believe the August podcast on urgency sparked some things in my mind. So if you've not heard that one, it's super good. Go back and listen to the urgency podcast. Next month, we're going to continue that thought with some thoughts on urgency and ministry. Hopefully it'll be really helpful.
Yeah. I like how we said we're going to do urgency, but we're not going to be very urgent about when we get to it.
We're going to put off our urgency. That's hilarious.
So yeah. So we're trying to really help you here. Applicable stuff here, peeps. Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. We hope you have enjoyed this podcast, and we will see you next month. And in the meantime, we hope your leadership is infused
with life.